You have your Bible, Matthew chapter 28. I just want to thank you. Thank you guys for supporting Faith Promise. My pastor in Georgia taught me Faith Promise in 93, and I've been giving, and my family been giving toward that since then. I'm very grateful. And also, you guys support our team, Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand. And also, thank you so much for helping us with the building. And I look forward to getting back to see the new building. I have not seen the finished product. Okay. I'm going to try to go really slow. Don't worry, I'll finish on time. Man, I don't want to get fired. I already got kicked out from buying a house once. Amen. So, I'll go real slow because my English got really good the last 10 years, amen? Wow. Okay, Matthew 28. I'm sure you guys heard this verse before. Let me pray first, and then we have a lot of verse to read. Let me pray first. Father, Lord, thank you so much for opportunity to preach, Lord. Thanks so much for your faithfulness. You are everything to us, to my family, to me, myself. And Lord, I pray that your will be done in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Matthew 28. I know Pastor has been teaching you guys a lot about discipleship. And I just want to share really my testimony on this discipleship. How it has helped me as a Christian, as a missionary, and as a father. And I'll be honest with you, there's two things. These two things I learned the most in the last 10 years as a missionary. One, trusting in God, having faith in God. I remember my family got to Cambodia in December. Well, my welcome to Cambodia moment, December 29th or December 30th, my family got there on Friday, and then I asked for our board, when is soul winning? And they had soul winning on Saturday. So my first time going soul winning with the church there, with our national people, we had to cross this to an area, one of the poorest areas in Cambodia. And we were walking on a log. And some of the houses we went to was right on top of raw sewage. And that was my welcome to Cambodia moment, amen. And I was thinking to myself, man, what I've gotten myself into. But the thing about faith, trusting in God, I remember my wife was already 6 months pregnant. And my mom went with us to Cambodia. First 2 weeks we were there, my mom suffered a major stroke, and she was in a hospital for a while. And the third week, Sophia was born, and she was born at not even 7 months. So she was in the hospital for like almost 3 months, and she couldn't wait to come out and see her handsome father. Amen. But wow! But those, I'm thankful for the trials that God put us through. It taught me to trust in God. So I'm very grateful for that. But the other thing that I probably learned the most in the last 10 years, friend, is discipleship. And I want to encourage you, if you're not already investing your time in someone, I encourage you to do that. You will never regret that. Okay? And I'll tell you a little bit of story. I remember when I first got saved in Atlanta, how many of you guys remember that? The 80s, I got saved, I got my long hair. And you guys remember those bleach jeans? Yeah. I wore bleach jeans, flip-flop, to church. And I didn't know you were supposed to dress properly. But I remember I just wanted to serve God. Amen. And I remember not only that, when I gave my life to God, and then I started Bible college in 93, and I would never been a disciple. I came straight out of public school, and I failed most of my class, amen. The only A I made was in PE, amen. But I remember going to Bible college, and I remember one of the teachers, he was trying to trick the student. He said, all you guys, open your Bible to Hezekiah. And I would like open my Bible, looking everywhere. And everybody started laughing, like, what are everybody laughing at? Then I, oh, man, there's no Hezekiah in the Bible. But I think back, wow, if I had somebody to disciple me, to teach me the word of God, I would learn a lot. Because I just wanted to learn about God. And my Bible knowledge was very shallow, very shallow. But I actually want to encourage you, if you want to, this is one of the best things I learned in Cambodia, discipleship. Amen. I am so grateful for Brother Board, his family, and we all are involved in the discipleship. You know, I get to disciple 3 to 4 families, driving 5 hours away, and I love to do it. It's not a burden at all, because we love the people that God called us to. Amen. We love the people that God called us to. But it's all because of Christ, friend. All because of Christ. But let me, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Of course, the word teach there talk about making disciple. And in the Cambodian Bible, just translate making disciple. And I just want to talk to you for a few minutes, the benefits of discipleship. Benefits of discipleship. Okay? The command is to make disciple, not merely converts or supporters of a cause. Make disciple remind us that disciples are made. Disciples are not spontaneously created at conversion, they are the product of a process involving other believers. Yeah. Involving other believers. This making a disciple is the power of spreading Christianity. And I of course, you guys heard about a team. Like I said, I am so grateful for Brother Board, his leadership, his influence. Amen. And he probably discipled the most people there at our church. And I get a disciple anywhere from 20 to 30 people every week. And I'm very grateful for it. But let me go on the benefit of discipleship. First of all, discipleship helps in the spiritual growth of the discipler and the new believer. You know, it helped me tremendously. That's an understatement, to be honest with you. Okay? You know, when I go disciple someone, I have to prepare myself spiritually. You know, I have to study my Bible, okay? And I have to pray and ask God to help me. You know, sometimes it's good to put pressure on yourself. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I love America. This country has been a refuge for my family over 40 years. You know, I remember running from the missile and things like that, the war and things like that. But to be honest with you, sometimes I hate to come to America because the temptation is so much. Everything's cry out at you so much. I'll be honest with you, in my opinion, it's easy for me to trust God living there in Cambodia. Right. Sometimes I get distracted here in America. Yep. Okay? I'll just be honest with you. But so discipleship helps in the spiritual growth of you as a discipler, and you're helping the new believer to grow spiritually. Yes. And friend, I encourage you, there's somebody out there that's just like me. You know, I thought, you know, I remember before I got saved, I thought was the best thing in life was make a lot of money, eating all kind of food, amen? And playing and watching sport, amen? And I thought that was the best thing in life. But when I got saved, you know, the best thing in life is knowing God and living for him. There's nothing better than that, friend. Nothing. I wouldn't trade this life for anything. Okay? As much as I love America, I love serving God. I love reaching my people for God. I love seeing young people getting saved and living the life of God. I'm thankful that I get to live, get to reach my people for God. You know, I totally respect Brother Luis going back to his own country. That was my dream when I was in my early 20s. You know, I just want to reach my people for God. That was it. And I remember moving out here. I owe a lot to Pastor Joe, I'll be honest with you. I remember, you guys know Pastor, one of the many things I like about our church here, if you're faithful, Pastor and our leader are not afraid to ask you to get involved. Amen? Do you guys know what I mean? I remember when I came out here, the pastor said, okay, you faithful? Okay, start a ministry. Okay, I remember 2001, one of the best things that Pastor asked me to do was I got involved in the command department. It helped prepare me greatly. Amen. So I owe a lot of that to Pastor. A lot. But I'm thankful, friends. So first of all, discipleship helps in the spiritual growth of the discipler and the new believer. Every week, we get to help people to grow in the Lord. You get to help people to mature in Christ. And then when you see people are growing, serving God, that's a great joy, friend. Such a great joy. Amen. Like why I'm here right now, I've been doing a ministry in prayer here. It's like 5 to 5.5 hours away. And one of our Bible college students, Tom, he's leading it, and he's doing a tremendous job. Every week I get to spend time with him, and he's discipling other people. I appreciate Brother Johnny discipling some of our faithful men, and they always like to quote the people that disciple them. Just a tremendous blessing. Let me tell you a couple more things, and then I'll just mainly focus on one other point. Then I'm done, amen? Okay. Discipleship is part of the Great Commission. So therefore, when you are discipling a convert, you're not doing them a favor when you disciple them. Rather, you are obeying the commandment of Christ. You are obeying Christ. Friend, there's nothing better than that. I'll tell you that right now. Okay. There's nothing better in life than to know God and to live for him. For me, before I got saved, you know, my mom and my brother, they noticed I was, you know, they did not emphasize education. I had to work around 30 hours almost throughout high school. And, I forgot why I tell you guys that. Wow, I'm getting young, amen? But what I'm trying to say, you know, I thought life was just working. I had to work a lot. My brother forced me to work. And then I'm just a big sport fan. Especially baseball, okay? You know, I thought that was it, life. And my brother got tired of me watching the Braves all the time. He said, man, get out there and work. Get out there and work. But then when I got saved, man, there's nothing better than serving God, friend. Amen. There's nothing better than that. Way better than sport. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a person that watches sport 4 or 5 hours a day, okay? You talk about a person that I took my baseball glove, baseball to church with me. Okay. That's how much of a baseball fan I am. I just bought a couple more gloves to take to Cambodia, man. I just throw around with my son, amen. And that's how much, but as much as I love sport and the material thing, when I got saved, got right with God, there's nothing better than just obeying Christ's commandment. Amen. And I just want to encourage you with that. Thirdly, discipleship helps build strong relationship between the teacher and the new convert. I remember 2011, 2012, 2013, I had an opportunity to disciple like 4 couples and a couple single person people. And I'm thankful that those people are still faithful to God. Yeah. And I have a great relationship with them. Great relationship with them. Okay? And our team there in Cambodia, I'll be honest, we're very grateful for Brother Johnny. The 1 or 2 years he was there, he helped us disciple some of our faithful men. And to this day, they still quote Brother Johnny. Yeah. Okay? They still are close to him. And that's another thing I love about discipleship. You're close to the people that you disciple.
There you
And when I was a young Christian, I was crying, I was dying with somebody to disciple me. You know, like I told you, I went to Bible college. I had no clue, okay? I just wanted to do God's will. That was it. I thought Hezekiah was a book in the Bible, okay? And I remember even when I moved out here, the pastor helped me a lot, but I remember working in a boys' home, and a couple of guys said, oh, man, brother, too, he's wishy-washy. And that, when I thought about it, I said, man, they were right. I did not know much about the Bible at all. And it motivated me. You know, I got to study my Bible.
Amen.
Okay? But discipleship, you help you build a strong relationship with the new believer. You know, just about almost every week, friends, some people that I disciple, they'll send me a message. And when I hear from them, I get so happy.
Amen.
Okay? Just like Apostle John said, he's joyful when he sees his children are living, walking in truth. Okay? And I'm thankful for discipleship. So if I was one thing I can encourage my home church, if you have not got involved in discipleship, I encourage you to do so. You won't regret it.
Amen.
You won't regret it. And I love to disciple people. I love to help people to grow in the Lord. And it's just a great blessing. And, you know, you can help. If you disciple a young person, you can help them to, you know, have an impact in their life.
Yeah.
I think about just recently, I've been discipling this family, Salk and his family. And one of the things I'm thankful for, the pandemic, the government closed all the public gathering. So we had two young ladies that they were, you know, nominal Christian, and they just going to church once a week. But because of the pandemic, they came home, and I was discipling the parents, and they, you know, they sit in, and then I had an opportunity to teach them also.
Yeah.
And after teaching them, discipling them and their parents for a few months, now they want to be in Bible college.
There you go.
I'm just filled with joy. Okay, and they tell me all the time, Pastor, you know, we want to learn more. We want to go to Bible college. You know, when you see people that you influence and they want to live for God and they want to do God's will, it gives you great joy.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage you, discipleship is it helps you to grow spiritually. You help the new believers to grow. It's part of the Great Commission. You build a strong relationship. And lastly, just when you help someone get saved and you disciple them, you earn the title of a spiritual father or mother.
Right.
Paul said, and he called Timothy his son in the Lord. He called Titus and Onesimus. Okay? And I just want to encourage you, that's just my testimony. I love discipleship. I love helping people to grow in the Lord. And I want to encourage and challenge you. There's someone out there just like myself when I was a young Christian. Did not know much about God or the Bible. Just wanted to know God.
Amen.
To know God. And I just want to encourage my church here. And we love you guys. And you guys support my family for 10 years now. Okay. And I love what I'm doing. God called me to my own people. I have witnessed to communist soldiers that kill my family, but you know what? I love those people. They need God.
Amen.
So discipleship, benefit of discipleship. Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah. All right, thank you for that tremendous message. I tried to disciple him when he lived with us for a while. We came home one time, and he was watching something dirty on television. I'm like, in this house, we don't watch the Atlanta Braves. Okay. You thought he watched something bad. Brother Luis and your family, come on up. I know they got to leave soon. And then let me have the pastoral guys come up. We have a couple gifts for you, and then we just want to pray with you as we send you on our way. Literally, they are, thank you. Literally, they are leaving straight from here to the airport. You see that car out there, that truck? You see all that luggage? That's not yard sale. That's what they're going to Guatemala with. And we love this family. And Juana, you started coming junior high? High school. And Luis started, excuse me? Okay. All right. And then Brother Luis has been here, he said, about our church about 20 years. And by the way, while he was waiting to leave, his ticket kept getting bumped up. He helped around here working. And he didn't have to. And he's just been a huge blessing to us. And so I don't know whose is what. Let's see.
Well, I can guess, okay?
Staff's going to come up. We're going to lay hands on him real quick, and I'm going to pray for him. But why don't we all bow our head and close our eyes? And as we're praying for him, why don't you pray for them too? Put yourself in their shoes, okay? He's excited. He's ready to go. But it is a big move for them. So let's all bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. You pray for them silently, and I will pray for them publicly. Father, we are so grateful for this family. They have been such a huge blessing through the years. And Lord, we're going to miss them as they leave. But Lord, it's been Brother Hernandez's desire since in college. I remember in college classes, he would give testimonies about going back to his homeland with the gospel. Lord, that day is now here. I pray, Father, that you would use him mightily. I pray, Lord, as they get on a plane and leave today and probably sometime late tomorrow, they'll be in their new surroundings, tired, with a lot going on. I pray that you give them strength. I pray that you would help them to quickly settle in. I pray, Father, that you would prepare him and prepare the people there for exactly what you want him to do, Lord. Lead him and guide him the whole way. I pray that your spirit would fill him as he seeks to win souls, build a church, disciple people. I just pray you'd use him in every way, God. Meet his every need. Be real to him as he trusts in you, as he has been during his time here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to miss him. Why don't we give their family a big hand? Yeah. Thank you, Brother Hernandez. You can go. I hope that you'll put them on your prayer list, okay? And pray for them daily. Pray as they get out to the field. Pray that they settle in and help them with all of that. And then just do be a part of the special offering. We're going to get that to him, and we really want to be a blessing to him. Brother Grandy, we're going to sing on your song sheet there, and then as soon as Brother Grandy's done singing, we'll have the special.
Let's go ahead and stand for this song. I believe this is a newer song for us, Whatever It Takes. I know it's hard to think about the words when we don't know the song, but let's try to think about the words as we sing them. We'll sing the verse and the chorus. On that first verse, let's sing it together. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me.
Call me so.
whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord. That's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. Thank you for singing. You may be seated. Crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am I will go. The lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really save? And are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell. Will anyone heed the calling to go and tell? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold, I will give the Lord control, I will tell them of the crimson flow. For my Savior died on that rugged cross, He thought of me when He count the cost. How can I say that I love Him if I don't reply? Here am I will go. I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control.
Brother Esposito, why don't you come up? Of course, Brother Esposito, he'll be preaching also, I believe, Sunday night. And so he's been stuck here for a long time. How long have you been back in the States?
Almost 8 months
and been around several times. And glad to have him. Brother Esposito, why don't you preach for us?
Thank you. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 4. Nick, thank you very much for singing that song. When I was struggling, wrestling with God about going to the mission field, many times in the middle of the night, I would wake up and I would not be able to go back to sleep. And I would come to the office here when I was on staff. There would be times 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning that I'd come to the office. And there were times that I would play that song over and over and over again. And I can remember one time, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning in my office. As a matter of fact, I think that day Henry Vong and the police came. Maybe I triggered the alarm or something. I can't remember what it was, but Henry saw my car, so he said, "Oh, it's one of our pastors. He's a nut." Anyway, but I can remember one night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, just listening to that song, and God just speaking to my heart. Here am I. And I want to say to Luis, where's Luis at? Luis and Juana, where you at? Did they already leave? Oh, my goodness. Thank you. By the way, Juana, I got to tell you a story about Juana. The first day Juana, I was the administrator of our Christian school. Juana and her brother Ben and their mother. Is Karen here? Karen, are you here? By the way, Karen, thank you for being faithful wherever you are. But Karen brought Juana and Ben to my office, and I had to interview them. And I asked Juana, and I asked Ben, I said, "So why do you want to come to our Christian school?" And Juana looked at me with a hatred you've never seen before and said, "I don't want to come to your Christian school." I said, "Boy, this is going to be a blessing." And by the way, it was. Karen, thank you for being faithful wherever you are and for helping Juana along the way, and we're so proud of them. I want to thank all the missionaries, the Tongdis, the Gayos, for answering the call. Brother Russell, of course, I don't know you real well. Thank you for answering the call and going. If you have a Bible, John chapter 4, Pastor Myers, thank you for doing such a wonderful job with the church during a pandemic. It is freezing here tonight, though. Somebody say amen, man. No kidding. I was going to wear my winter jacket up here to preach, but just before I came up to preach, my grandson was back there. So I had to give him my jacket. So anyway, pray for me. You will probably go home real early tonight because I'm cold. I was going to say, hey, let's all get together and cuddle so we can warm up, but I forgot COVID-19, so we can't do it. Amen. So, but anyway, I was thinking last night as I was sitting there, as I was looking at the sign, Revive the Vision, and I was, through the service, by the way, great service last night, good preaching. I am glad that Brother Russell did show up with clothes today. Somebody say amen. I was a little bit concerned, because by the way, sometimes missionaries don't have a whole lot of sense. So somebody say amen. Especially if they've been in the field as long as him. I was imagining him showing up just with a tie on anyway. But so I'm glad he was dressed. But as I was looking at the sign and I was of the banner, I was reading Revive the Vision. I couldn't help but to think, you know, the word revive means to wake up something or someone that's asleep, or to bring to life someone or something that is dead. And then when you think about vision, that could mean a whole lot of things. But then I was thinking, you know, what vision are we talking about? Well, this is a missions revival. Then I started thinking, well, then we're talking about waking up, rekindling that spirit of missions. Then I couldn't help but think about 8 years ago or so, where this was like a beehive of activity when Dave Board came back from Cambodia and talked to Pastor Joe about the possibility of having a team. And I can remember we started a recruiting, and if you know, Pastor Joe is ruthless with recruiting. He no mercy whatsoever. But little by little, he started recruiting people who didn't want to go. Buna, you've heard Buna tell us he didn't want to go, but Pastor Joe was able to talk him into it. Kum Lee was supposed to go to Cambodia 10 days before he goes to Cambodia. Pastor Joe says, "Hey, would you go to Laos?" And Kum Lee said, "Well, I guess you're my pastor." Dave Board's still a little bit bitter about that one, by the way. But don't tell him I said that. How you doing, Brother Board? But anyway, but I can remember so many people. I can remember we were having sessions in the small chapel, and I can remember how there was just this excitement about sending teams. And of course, we sent a team to Cambodia. We sent a team to Thailand. We sent a team to Laos. And then I was thinking all this during the preaching, especially when Brother Russell was talking about coming to church naked. But anyway, I was thinking about the fact that over the years, how many of the folks who attend here had at one time surrendered to go. And they came and they visited us in Asia. And many of the young people in Asia say they told us they would come back. Many times. They never forget. And they say, Pastor Johnny, they said they would come back. They never came back. And so tonight I want to just take a couple moments to try to revive the vision. And we thank God for Pacific Baptist Church. And we thank God for your faithful giving. And we thank God for your faithful praying. But Pastor Myers even said something last night. He said, it's not just about the praying. It's not just about the giving. It's about the going. Yeah. And by the way, this is a very special night for Pacific Baptist Church, the fact that Luis is going. He's on his way. And by the way, they need a lot of prayer. They're not going to a team. They're not going to be met by team members there. They're going on their own. So pray for them. So if you have a Bible, let's all stand. We're going to read a couple verses, and we don't have a whole lot of time. I was, by the way, Brother Two, I was very proud of you, because I'm a little bit like Brother Myers. I don't believe a message has to be eternal to be effective. When I was in Cambodia for 2 years, I preached the shortest messages. Well, I am a short guy, amen. But I preached the shortest messages, and my messages were interpreted. Those guys speak the language, and you don't even, Pastor Dave Board, Lord help you, amen. Hour and a half, and that's a short message. But I thought for sure Brother Two was going to take all the time tonight. But John chapter 4, verse 30, we're going to begin reading in verse 27. We're going to read down to verse 36. We'll have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. The Bible says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. This is the story of Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. Came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Just real briefly, men didn't talk to women during that time, especially a rabbi. Jesus is referred to as a rabbi 13 times in the gospel. And they definitely didn't talk to Samaritans. They didn't get along with Samaritans. So it was sort of a shocking thing for them. Verse 28, then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come, see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed or asked him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Jesus was a man, the God-man, who was consumed with a cause. He lived his life, his earthly ministry, his life and ministry consumed with a cause. A cause that very few, even his disciples, would understand. Verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another. By the way, the disciples were a lot like you and me. They weren't real smart. They never seemed to get it. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? In other words, has somebody given him food that we didn't know about? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And may I say this, church family, the greatest passion of your life and my life should be to find, to follow, and to finish the will of God for our lives. Yeah. To find, to follow, and to finish the will of God for our lives. And Jesus understood that. Verse number 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. By the way, there's nothing like working in the ministry, whether you're paid or not, reaching people for Christ, discipling people. As Brother Two was mentioned, name's Tom. I can remember Tom was one of 4 or 5 Chom men that I was discipling for well over a year. Just a faithful man. him and Casal go back and forth to that village. I'm still discipling Casal. But there's a joy in doing the ministry and seeing fruit from it. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. We're thankful for everybody who's here. It is a chilly night, and as Californians, we're not used to this kind of weather. We're not used to this kind of wind. But these folks have come, and they've come because they want to hear from you. Lord, nobody needs to hear from me tonight, but we all do want to hear from you. So I pray, God, in the next few moments that you would speak to our hearts. You would challenge us. You would encourage us. You would help us to be a missions-minded people. And I pray, Lord, tonight, if there's somebody here under the voice of this message that at one time felt a call to go to the mission field, I pray, God, the vision would be revived. I pray, Father, for those who maybe at one time gave faithfully to missions, but maybe COVID or maybe struggles have caused them to stop giving or not giving as much as they would in the past or should in the future. And I pray, Father, that you would revive the vision. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here this evening who has not been praying for missionaries and the mission field, I pray, God, that you would revive the vision. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll never forget when I first arrived in Southeast Asia for a three-week trip. And I arrived in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. And I've told you some of the stories, but I don't think I've ever shared this story with you. And, of course, I'm coming from America, but at that time I had written like 7 books. All of my books were about America, revival in America, social ills America, a Christian education. Well, actually, it wasn't Christian education. It was slamming the public schools. But about social ills here in America. I used to say from the pulpit here, or actually inside the building, when I die, I want my grave to say, I want my children to be able to say that he died doing everything he could to save America. But God began to stir my heart about another part of the world, the 1040 window, which we've talked about many times. And I never felt, to this day, I don't know if I'm called to the mission field, but I did volunteer. I surrendered to go. But I remember as God starts stirring my heart in times like listening to that song that Nick sang, and I'd sit there in my office drinking coffee, reading my Bible, praying, and listening to that song and other songs, but especially that song. And I would weep, and I'd say, God, what do you want of my life? And I remember as I struggled with it, little by little, God began to speak to my heart. And eventually, I shared it with Pastor, he had a terrible day, said it was the worst night of his life because I was so involved with the ministry here. And to be honest with you, he tried to talk me out of it. He said, give me 24 hours, let me pray, and we'll talk. And he had a list of 7 different options. You could be staff evangelist, you could be doing this. And by the way, Pastor Joe knew me. I'm very restless. My brother knew how to work with me. He always gave me a new task about every 6 months because he just knew that was me. I'm a mountain climber. I like looking for mountains to conquer. But when he realized that I was going to leave, he said, would you go to Southeast Asia? Would you consider going to Thailand and Laos? Would you oversee the teams, work with the teams there? And to be honest, and you've heard me say this, many of you, I didn't want to go to, first of all, I didn't want to go somewhere where I had to learn a language. Somebody say amen. And second of all, I did not like white rice. Somebody say amen. And they now I love it now. Not like Brother Kum Lee. Brother Kum Lee eats at breakfast, lunch, supper, and midnight snack. Amen. Brother Kum Lee, when we have an activity, a pizza activity for the teenagers, he is the only, I told you, missionary's a little weird. But by the way, he was weird before he was a missionary. But that's a whole nother story. But Brother Kum Lee, we have a pizza activity, and he says, we have to have rice. Kum, what are you talking about? Rice? Rice with pizza? Oh, yeah, everybody will want it. Durant makes all this rice. Only one person eats the rice. Kum Lee. I don't think we should have prayed for Luis. I think we should pray for him. Bring him up here. Okay. But I love rice. Now, I thought maybe go to the Philippines. They speak English. I considered, you know, going to Scotland, you know, get wear a kilt or something. But the thing is, Pastor talked me into going to Southeast Asia on a 3-week trip. He was supposed to go with me. Yeah, he didn't. But anyway, that's all another story. But so I go, and the very first visit I made. Now, you have to understand, America was everything to me. It was everything to me. This was home. It's been the first 56 years of my life here. I used to do God and country rallies, patriotic sermons. The thought of leaving America was not easy. So I get to Cambodia. In the very first visit we made, and this, you know, Brother Board orchestrated all this. We made a visit of a boy who had just died that week. If I remember correctly, he was 12 years old. And Brother Board and I had to walk through raw sewage, 10 or 12 inches. Now, I lived in Cambodia for 2 years. I used to do it all the time when I lived there. I used to go visiting in Stumman J twice a week. And when you come back from Stumman J, I would knock on the door, and my wife would open the door, and she'd say, "Get in the shower and go brush your teeth." Because the raw sewage, the smell of raw sewage, literally went down your throat. I just smelled like Brother Coomley's breath. Somebody say amen. Was it Bachman or something? They used to call him Bachman all the time. Man, wow, I haven't heard that one for a long time. Amen. So we're walking through this raw sewage. I'm an American. This is just not American, you know. I'm walking through raw sewage. I used to have hair on my legs. I don't have it anymore from walking through the raw sewage. And I'm walking through the raw sewage. And then we're climbing up like a wooden ladder. And we're going into this little hut that's on stilts. And I sit there. We're sitting on the floor. And Brother Board had brought some rice to give to the family and was trying to comfort the lady. And of course, I didn't understand the Khmer language, but Brother Board was doing his best to interpret for me. So he would talk to her a little bit, and then he would share what she said. And he was just trying to comfort her. What had happened is the 12-year-old boy had climbed up in, I think, a 30-foot tree, and he fell out of the tree on his head, and he died. And I'm sitting there. And this is ripping at my heart. Because the reason he climbed the tree to get the fruit was to support the family. Because, see, the people on that side of the world, if they make $100 a month, it's a good month. I'm thankful that over the last 7 months, we've been able to send $34,000 to Cambodia and Thailand and Laos. I think that's one of the reasons God has me stuck here. We've been able to send it to the poor, the needy, and the helpless. Because they don't have a government program. They don't have welfare. They don't have a stimulus package. They don't have a government that's fighting how much the package is going to be. There is no package. And I remember sitting there and I'm trying to wrap my head all around this, and I'm struggling with it. And then Brother Board, wrapping it up, he hands her a tract or maybe a brochure or something. And she got really excited. And she grabbed it from him, and then she ran. And she grabbed the boy's backpack. And she pulled some of those tracks out. And she said this: "My son loved your church. My son would ride his bicycle every day to school. to church, to school. She said sometimes he would get a flat tire and he would ride with a flat tire. She said he would go to school and he would hand out the tracts. And I'm sitting there as I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this, and Brother Board is interpreting for me, and all of a sudden, God is doing something in my mind, in my heart. It's like I'm lifting up my eyes, like Jesus said. I'm getting my eyes off of myself and my life and my family and my country. And all of a sudden, God is helping me to lift up my eyes upon the fields. And she began to tell how much this little boy, 12-year-old boy, loved God. She didn't even know who God was. It's a Buddhist woman. And I remember that day. We made other visits that day, and over the next 3 weeks, 20 days, God did a work in my heart. God did a work in my life. And many of you have heard me say this over and over again. Every night I wept like a baby. I wept myself to sleep. And I just couldn't wrap my mind and heart around this. What God was doing is he was helping me to look, lift up my eyes. By the way, guys, let me just say something. These are days that it's very easy for you to have your eyes focused on yourself, your city, your country, your church, because of all the stuff that's going on. But Jesus would say, lift up your eyes. Because the harvest fields. See, when Jesus said that, what it was is all these men were coming from the city. And the reason he said white on the harvest, they were all wearing white robes. And so Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look at them. And you have to understand, they're Samaritans. The Samaritan woman is bringing her friends, her family. They don't like Samaritans. Jews don't get along with Samaritans. But what Jesus was saying, lift up your eyes, get your eyes off of yourself, your country, your family, and see that I have something bigger and better for you. Amen. So tonight, our time's almost done. Tonight, I'm talking basically to three groups of people. Number one, I know that there are some of you here tonight. You've seen what I've seen. You have felt what I felt. But you've went to sleep on it. There was a time where you could have come up. We could have had it. The truth of the matter is, we could have had an invitation after Nick sang. You could have come up and said, here am I. See, I did not surrender for 3 years after the struggle became real. So tonight I'm talking to some of you. You've been there. You've seen it. You felt it. And God did something in your heart, and God did something in your life. And you said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm talking to a second group of people here this evening. It's all about reviving the vision. This has been a very difficult 8 months. But the truth of the matter is, it's been a very difficult 4 years, to be quite honest with you. These are rough times in America. I mean, the election right now. I mean, 2020, what's next, right? You know? But here's the thing. God wants us to get above ourselves, out of ourselves, lift up our eyes. And I want to encourage each and every one of you. Maybe you've never been over there. But you have teams over there. You have missionaries you support. I want to encourage you to pray, give, encourage some of you to go. I think about Tom and Sue Suttrick. They're in their 60s. Somebody needs to replace them. We had some of our guys go. They said, we're the Pacific Baptist Seven. That was the CT Stud Cambridge Seven. But we fell asleep on that. So I want to encourage us, let's revive, let's wake up. Let's bring to life that which has died. For many of us, we've never been there. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to give. I want to encourage you to do everything you can to support men like Luis and Juana. And by the way, let me just say this. Missionaries get very lonely. We go to every church, and every church says these are our heroes, but the minute we leave for the field, we're forgotten by family and friend. Every missionary will tell you that. I want to encourage you to go out of your way to encourage, send a text message, send an email, and just say, listen, we love you. We're praying for you. We're on your side because they need it. Then I want to encourage a third group here tonight. Maybe you're new and this is like all new to you. I want to encourage you to do your very best to just get plugged into this church, be involved with this church, be involved with the soul-winning program of this church, be faithful to the services of this church. This is a wonderful church. I'm thankful that my children, my grandchildren, are able to be in this church. It's a great church, a great crowd on an off night, and it's cold. But if you're sort of new and you don't understand what missions is, I want to encourage you, just go ahead and get on board. If you haven't already given for Luis and want to give, I contacted my wife because I don't know how that stuff works. I told my wife, send some money. And she sent some money earlier. Give and help. Well, a Sunday night, they'll do Faith Promise. Give. Do what you can. Pray. And many of us ought to go. I remember 8.5 years ago, it was just a beehive of people going. Let's revive that vision. Let's stand. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'll turn it over to Brother Pastor Myers. But with our heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if anybody would say this evening, you know, Brother Johnny, something that was said this evening spoke to my heart. And I want to get in with this thing, reviving the vision. I want God to do whatever God wants to do in my heart, in my life. And I want to surrender to whatever it is that God has for me. Brother Johnny, would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand. I'll pray for you. Anybody like that tonight? God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands. Thank you. I'm going to have a brief word of prayer. I'll turn it over to Pastor Myers. Father, I pray that you'd help us revive the vision. God, we're told that vision dies every 60 days. I think it dies every 30 days. I pray that you would rekindle a passion for Christ, the presence and purpose of Christ, the person of Christ. I pray that over the next couple days, God, that our hearts would burn with a passion to reach the lost around the corner and around the world.